Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 141. We have a very, very action-packed day today. So much. We're so spoiled with all the track action and amazing results that's been going on recently. We have some other fun things to talk about as well. If you're watching the video, you're getting quite a special treat right now as you're watching Ollie devour a burger from Black Belly. I think he's currently unable to talk.
So good.
The Black Belly saga continues.
But yeah, we all have some special news. We did just all take a trip to Black Belly. George, what did you think?
I didn't think I needed two. Like Ollie over here. This is one couldn't quite fill him up, so he had to bring the second one to the studio. It was a good burger. I'll give Ollie that. I don't think I'm going best burger of my whole life, but a solid 8 I gave it, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah.
What did you think, Morg?
Yeah, we have a YouTube. I think it'll come out on its own, a nice little video, so you guys can get the full experience with us. But I thought it was super, super good as well. It wasn't – it's the title of best burger you've ever had is – to me, almost.
Sorry. I literally went on the other side. And
you look so cheeky doing that as well. You knew it was going to happen. Yeah. Ollie's in heaven right now. But yeah, the title of best book you've ever had, I think that's almost unattainable. I think like it really has to be such a special experience. And I mean, it was such a good burger. So
you know what I was thinking on the way home after sharing our thoughts at the table? I think I like a burger that's like a little like softer, like squishable when you grab it.
Mm.
I feel like there
is
was
too firm.
It was quite firm, I think.
The meat was like too packed or something.
For whatever reason.
A little more squish needed from George.
I like a little more squish, I think.
That's why
you like a little bit more stiffness, do you, George?
That's me. Why no. You like the double decker?
Yeah, maybe that like a double gets, there's a bit more like.
I'm sure you could ask him for another
more
patty.
Juice to it.
Can you just split that patty in half and just cook both?
Yeah.
That'd be the move. It was a good burger, though.
But it was good.
It was amazing little outing for us. So
we don't get to do that much.
No, I enjoyed it. I would definitely go back to Black Belly. The vibes were very good.
Oh, it's popping off. Really high quality food. So that video of us going there will be coming out shortly. So you guys can all look forward to that. And then Ollie's still finishing off his burger. We have a special little clip to share as well. The audio from it is just hilarious. And this is a few weeks old now. This I think came out perhaps the week after we did the Penn Relays event and signed all those NILs.
A recently this is from a high school meet. NIL athlete with the Coffee Club podcast featuring some of the top runners of the On Athletics Club, Jordy Beamish, Ollie Hoare, and Morgan McDonald. He signed that deal while they were on site at the Penn Relays. So congratulations to Tommy Sheeran on his recent signing there. He's also a recently committed Siena Saint. So
big shout out to Tommy Sheeran.
Do we know that commentator? I feel like I've heard him before.
His voice almost sounds familiar. Yeah. Huh?
Anyway, big shout out to both of them because that's huge for us.
That's how you should be getting announced coming into every single race you do once you're part of
Where's Tommy going? Saint.
I did miss that. I did miss that. Saint something.
Saint Clemente.
Saint Clemente.
All the best at in your future endeavors there with your Coffee Club signing, which was a lifetime deal. So there's no getting out of that.
Carries into collegiate teams. If you happen to ever be on a corporate team, still you're technically signed. That was
you're technically with us forever. So
national teams.
Yep.
National teams.
If you somehow rise the ranks of Apple and become the CEO, we own Apple, you know, if you're one of those guys. So.
That specifically was in the fine print.
That was in the fine print, yeah.
If you Gus made sure that we put that in there. He's a good businessman. So, yeah. But we're going to talk about this. We missed it last week. Well, we didn't have time for it last week. The World Athletics Ultimate Championships. Later in this episode, we'll do some race recaps from last weekend, which was huge. New York Grand Prix popped off, NCAAs popped off, Portland Track Festival kind of popped off.
Portland was low-key, more low-key than I expected.
There's some amazing performances though as well.
It's not as covered.
And then Euros has been going on and is ongoing until this moment when we're recording. This very moment is the final evening session. So perhaps if it lines up well at the end, George had the great idea of us live watching the 1500.
I got some info for you guys too on why Josh Kerr wasn't racing the European Championships. He's American. Forgetting. Fuck. He doesn't race the European Championships, guys. We've got to keep in track with that. He is the best American. So that is why Josh is... he's getting ready for those trials against Yard. So he's not racing.
We had someone send us as well that Whiteman didn't race it. See, this... I still don't buy this, though. Someone said Whiteman's racing in New York because his agent runs the meet. But that's still not a reason to...
That was Scott, too.
That's still not a reason why you would not race Euros and race this meet instead. Like, it's a reason why you would race this meet. But it's not a reason why you would not race Euros.
You're telling your federation there. I can't come to the Europeans. My agent's making me run this meet in New York. They'd be like, what the fuck?
Maybe it was just an option and he picked the option in New York rather than the option to run Europeans.
But I want reasons. I want answers.
We'll get White Castle on it. Maybe he was heading to White Castle to grab a burger.
No White Castles in Rome, probably.
Yeah. I don't think Rome has White Castles.
They eat burgers in Italy.
Rome has Little Caesars, though.
Is this true?
I don't know.
At one time, it had a Big Caesar.
A Big Caesar?
The Caesar. Actually, a few Caesars.
Yeah. Caesar salad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Julius. Yeah.
Julius. Shout out.
That's a great question. Do they eat burgers in... I don't know. I mean, I'm sure... Not traditionally.
I was going to say... Not Italian burgers. Burgers are from Hamburg, which are German, right?
Don't know. Makes sense.
Because I think Americans claim burgers, but maybe...
Sounds plausible.
I don't know.
Is that why it's called a hamburger?
Hamburger, yeah.
Makes sense.
Whereas Americans would say, burger?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure we were suggesting that it was from Italy. No one was suggesting that.
I thought Italy invented cuisine.
If hamburgers are from Hamburg, where are cheeseburgers from?
Cheeseburgers? They're from...
Who invented them?
They're from... they're from... I don't know anything that reminds of cheese. That's a nation.
We'll get to them on that.
Yeah. The Pyrenees. They're from the Pyrenees because they have cheese.
Oh, good rhyme.
Yeah. That was late notice. But anyway, let's continue.
Okay. World Athletics Ultimate Championships. I think this news dropped about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now. World Athletics just love, I mean, I guess this is like what their job is, but I love how they just drop like little things here and there. And then I wonder from their side if they have a good sense of like what's going to go well, like what's going to be received well and what's not going to be received well, because it's always like it always just brings out the most passionate people.
Yeah. They kind of remind me of a divorced dad that's trying to like buy gifts for his estranged daughter. And some gifts are like really, really good and some gifts are like, dad, I don't want this. So that's what
like when
World Athletics is giving to me.
When they drop the ripper charge. Yeah. That one didn't hit.
this one was around when they... This was very close to when they dropped the news of potentially trying out a steeple mile and changing the weights for the javelin. And
that's right.
They were suspiciously close together.
Yeah, which was like the steeple mile. I mean, we could talk much more about that. Changing the weights of the javelin. I'm like, well, I don't fucking...
I don't really understand that. To be honest, we'd have to get a javelin thrower on.
Like maybe that's significant, but from like a viewing standpoint, it's like, okay. Like
they throw further maybe?
Yeah,
they wouldn't
change the fan experience. I don't think
they would let them throw it further because I think they already had to change the javelin.
Or it could be an injury prevention thing. Maybe like a certain weight.
It will literally go. It'll hit the other side of the track if they make it any lighter.
Yeah, but you got to remember the most popular athlete in track and field is the javelin thrower.
I'm blanking on his name right now.
Chopper. Yeah.
Okay, but I don't think any of his three. No, he's got more than 3 million followers. How many is it?
8.
Seriously?
He's 8 million.
Holy shit. I don't think any of his 8 million...
track and field athlete.
Well, it makes sense. There's billions of people in India.
Yeah, but they don't. We need to get in the India market, guys. Coffee Club needs to go to India.
They definitely don't care how much his javelin weighs.
Yeah.
His 8 million followers.
Maybe he cares and they're trying to change it for him.
Valid.
I was thinking what they should do is, I don't know if you guys would be keen on this, they should change the pole vault.
How so?
They should change the pole vault. When the pole hits the thing, they put a noise in the pole. So then when Mondo's hitting the pond, he goes like that, and it makes a little noise. So it'd be fun for, you know, the locals.
I thought you were going to say to make it like horizontal instead of vertical. You know those you know those like ones where the guy has to cross the river with the pole in the middle?
I would also just maybe just no padding anymore. Just like flat. Like
no
a,
padding.
Like a sand pit like the good old days.
Like High Jump used to have.
Yeah. See how that works.
That'd be dangerous.
Yeah, I'm not sure about it.
Turn into a blood sport. Yeah, it'd be crazy. But, so the World Athletics Ultimate Championships, there's not like full, like we don't exactly know what's going on with it, but pretty much the short of it is that they've said that they want 8 to 16 person fields probably picked based off world rankings. And it, so it'll be a, just a 3-day meet, I think, with just semis and finals. Similar to, I mean, it's almost similar to what the Diamond League final is, but just a little bit extended. It's, I guess it's very similar to what, say, an NCAA's outdoor meet is, essentially, with even less people, though. And they wanted this to be at the end of the season every 2 years. And they so far, they only have 2026 in Budapest locked in. But then they also have, they've already confirmed that after the Olympics 2028, it'll happen. So they, this comes as part of a larger overall scheme by World Athletics to try end every season with like a really big event, which is their event, which I think they're just, now I think about it more, like, because we've talked about the other leagues that are coming up and we're going to talk about them more in the coming weeks. I guess that's competition, you know? So I think World Athletics is really trying to do a better job at creating a better product, which has like a very explosive ending. So they've already said that they want the World Champs to be the end of the season in World Champs years. And then this, I guess, is their big thing on the off years.
I'm interested to see what Michael Johnson & Johnson thinks about it, because he's just obviously announced his league.
Yep.
And it's getting funding. We haven't heard any much since, right? Nothing really's come up from that since.
Next week,
big news. But I'm sure that's probably a counter, right? I'm sure World Athletics is using this to try and create something that will put athletes in a position where they pick one or the other.
I think it's more Michael Johnson is trying to create something to rival the regular season, not to rival the championship season.
But if the regular season is the way you qualify for the championship season, it seems like with this ultimate thing. And this is an issue I have with it, which I will bring up now, is that if it's a ranking situation, I'm not a particular big fan of that, because if you look at some athletes and how they get points and how they get ranking, they could not race for the whole regular season and still make the ultimate championships just from their purely from their rankings from the year before or from the championship race. So it's not really helping the continuation of racing in regular season.
I reckon the qualifying will be dubious. I think it'll be dubious at best.
Mm.
Like when they put Jakob in the Diamond League final of the 5K last
year.
And then they made it into a 3K. Those types of things.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Control. They just have overly control of like what they put in race.
I think if it's the last event of the year, you won't be able to qualify the year before because you won't have a ranking. You'll have to qualify that year. That's already how it is.
But what I'm saying is you could start it by just running a world championships, having the ranking from a semi or a final if you're that good, and then you wouldn't have to race the regular season into the championship, run the championship, get the ranking points from that, and then do it again.
My issue is not... I don't think there'd be an issue with that, because I think the rankings do generally... They do a not perfect, definitely, but they do a decent job at reflecting reality.
I agree. But I would like more racing in regular season. This ultimate championship isn't doing a positive for that.
Yeah,
it's
doing
a positive for the athletes
different
in the top end that are going to be racing a big race at the end of the year. That's amazing. That's going to get people excited. But people love watching the journey to get there, and I feel like that's still not going to encourage people to ride in the regular season, which is what I think maybe Johnson & Johnson will get involved with.
I think it encourages it more than normal, because normal world championships, you can get the standard and don't have to worry about your ranking. This one, no matter how fast you run, you have to have enough performances to get the ranking. Isn't that the whole point of the ranking?
Yes, but some performances you can just do at a championship because of how high the points are. Or
this is the championship, though.
But I'm saying it's before it. Like Olympics or World Champs, because this is happening in 26, correct?
It's not happening in World Champs years, but it's happening in Olympic and then like off years.
So in 2026, what championship are you going to qualify for?
Tokyo 2025.
Yeah, but it'll be a year before.
Yeah, but I guess maybe it'll still be within...
The rankings are still within the quota.
But I don't see that as, I don't think that'll be such an issue. But I do see what you're saying.
No, not an issue. I wish there was a way in which you'd have to qualify through the regular season instead of.
That would be cool.
Maybe they cut off the ranking from the last year. You can't qualify from the championships and then you have to run.
So you're saying you like the Diamond League system better?
No, I think the Diamond League system, it's better and worse for different situations. Worse because the funding is getting a lot lower, but better because I feel like particularly for our event, there's a lot of racing and a lot of points going to people to try and make that Diamond League final. I kind of want to see a system like that for a world championship because it makes people have to race and compete against each other like regularly.
I'm just wondering if they're actually going to go off the rankings or if it's going to be a bit more like discretionary than
that. Yeah. If you were a selector and Jakob was out for, say, for an injury for most of the year, you're probably putting him in then.
But you have to.
If he's...
Which they
fit,
do,
ready,
they
and maybe runs one race and runs 3:28, then you're like, well, he's going to be running the ultimate championships for the ultimate prize of
how
shaking Sebco's hand.
Well, I think they can just choose who's in it.
Yeah.
Technically.
Hopefully they can't. Hopefully if the ultimate championship is literally the top 16 in the world. That's it.
I wonder if it'll be that.
Like, but end of story.
But
probably still three per country. Top 16, three per country. I'm assuming.
Yeah, see that's definitely a question as well. If there's a country limit, but how did Jakob get into the Diamond League final of the 5K last year?
I'm gonna say by winning the Paris Diamond League.
No, he got in because he was on our podcast.
Wait, the Paris Diamond League did get him in. That was a Diamond League event.
The 2 mile.
Yeah,
they put it in for him, but it wasn't a Diamond League event. It was a world record attempt.
I thought he had no.
Maybe
points.
It wasn't a Diamond.
It wasn't
League
a Diamond League. No, he got in because
I thought they just let him in with no points. But I could be wrong.
But the Diamond League does that every single.
But
Diamond
that's
League.
The reason. The reason why is. Year. Do you remember when that?
I think this would be the same as what I'm.
Do you remember
saying.
When that 3K finished? There was two winners. The other, he won. Right. He won the race and he got one. And then the guy that was second,
Gomef
got it because he had
points.
He was
like the Diamond League champ.
Yeah, he was Diamond League champ. Jakob won and got a Diamond League. Whatever I don't know how he got that, but the other guy.
It also happened in the 800 with a thing because she didn't qualify.
She had the
Now I know why. Now I know why. It's because it was in Eugene, Nike.
Yeah.
Because you know how certain meets like Diamond League Final in Zurich, you could have certain Swiss athletes compete at that?
Every single Diamond League of the whole year, you can have wild cards. That's a Diamond League.
Diamond League Final, you can do it as well. Because Zurich,
That's why I said every single one.
Well, every single meet, you can have whoever you want.
Yeah, so they just put in Jakob from that.
But I think it's more likely that you won't be able to do that.
We don't know yet.
You have
though.
To qualify for because Diamond League is its own thing. So they just take whoever they want. Really.
World Athletics also can,
do what they want. That's what I'm saying. I think that'll happen here.
Yeah,
like at World Champs in Budapest or something. Someone's just getting in without qualifying.
But this is the ultimate champs, George. Ultimate.
This is the World Athletics ultimate champs.
The ultimate champs.
Why would it be different?
Because it's ultimate.
Did you not listen to the name?
Ultimate, George. The ultimate chance of letting people in without having to qualify.
In my head, compared to World Champs, which has all these rules, this event is a more, not like trivial isn't quite the right word, but it's more aimed at like just, all right, let's try optimize like whatever's going to be the most entertaining. And like,
yeah. Okay. Well, should we get to that? Ollie got us very distracted with how important the qualifying was.
Do we like it or not?
I love it. I think it should just be like, I think this should be happen more often.
I think it's just the opinion I have on it.
Yeah, but now we're done with qualifying. How do you feel about it as its own event? Nothing to do with how you qualify.
I mean, I don't feel any different about it than a world championships, really.
Really?
No.
Interesting.
Because it's an attempt. It's obviously an attempt to make track and field much more easy to. Obviously, you want more athletes, the top athletes, to engage in a major championship at least near the end of the season every year. And you're trying to get more fans involved in watching them and produce, like, obviously, like a very regular season kind of thing.
Well, the big thing that they're trying to do is they're trying to cut down what is World Champs, 10 days? I don't know. They're cutting it down into 2 or 3 days. That's the big thing.
What about events? Events?
I think it's the same events. I don't know if there's walkings. I'm not sure. There's probably not walks.
What about the marathons?
It's probably only in-stadium events, I'm going to guess.
So no marathon either?
I don't think so, but that's just my guess. I don't know any facts on that, but I think it's, just trying to make it into a 2 or 3 day thing, which, similar to, when I watched NCAAs this past weekend, or when was it? Yeah, this past weekend. I forgot how exciting like those last days are. It's literally just like every single event back to back to back is just
stacked.
Exactly what you want to see. You know, there's no filler at all. And I mean, that's essentially what a Diamond League is, except a Diamond League doesn't have everyone there.
No.
So this is, you know, trying to be like the best of both worlds, where it's like super, super stacked, but everyone is there, I guess. And
so it's a good concept, I guess. We just have to see it work, right? I mean, we don't know if it's going to be successful or not yet, do we?
I think it sounds incredible. I reckon it sounds almost better than Worlds. I've been arguing, I feel like, I feel like Seb has said, you know, there was like a long time ago where he said that they're going to come up with a way to fill off years, and now they have. And I feel like we've talked about Eugene and Budapest a lot, and I feel like we've all agreed that they were, like, the level of competition was incredible and they actually were really good showcases of sport, but that they were really fucking long, or both of them. And I was always I'm pretty sure we talked about making them shorter, because I think I've always been a proponent of not being able to double. I think, feel like we had this argument last year. Like, yes, it's 10 days so that, you know, because it gives the opportunity for, that you can just have more entries, mm-hmm. number one. And then also you can do multiple events, which I never really liked that much. And I feel like that's what, I mean, shit, people will probably still do multiple events.
I reckon people will still double
people
here.
People will still
like,
be able
like
to.
Like Jakob at the Diamond League final.
Because there'll be, I mean, it's hard to, because there could, probably won't be a semifinal in like a 5K. That'll probably be a straight final.
That'll be a straight final. Then 16 people.
Even the steeple might be.
I mean, yeah. 16 people would be a straight final for a 1500. Why would you split it up?
Yeah.
One person gets knocked out, two people get knocked out.
I think the 1500 they would too, because the semifinal is entertaining. I think they would cut it
you
to like 10 or 12.
I think athletes would disagree with you on that, because they'd all think that, like, nah, I'd rather be in the final 16, one race.
Yeah, but it's from, not, from an entertainment, the athletes don't get to decide.
From an entertainment perspective, it makes sense, but I think athletes wouldn't want that. I think they would just want a straight final of 16.
Yeah.
But from an entertainment perspective, people would want to see semi in a final.
Kind of like even the NCAAs, indoors, they cut that down.
Yeah. But, you know, I think World Athletics wants people to double as well. I think they want their stars racing as much as possible.
But 150 grand for the win? I think this is just a way better...
Yeah, we didn't
this,
even mention
this
that
makes
yet.
The Diamond League final look pretty.
Is it 150 grand for the win? Is that confirmed?
That's what they said.
That's not 150 grand for everyone in the one
prize
event.
Pool.
150 grand to win. Only the top 16 in the world get to compete.
Where's the prize money go down to? Top 8?
Probably not everyone. Sure. I don't know. Nah, it doesn't say. But 10 million total.
It's a good idea, and perhaps it's the future, because once you have this event, then it makes a lot of other events seem like, why would you have a Diamond League final if you also have this?
This is my interesting thing, how is this going to affect the Diamond League? It's probably just going to make people not run it, right? Or I guess the Diamond League final will become useless.
The Diamond League final already doesn't have quite the like spark, the shine that it deserves. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's already like not what it should be.
Yeah.
So Diamond League maybe as a regular season still makes sense, but maybe this is like, I don't know, maybe they get rid of the final. It'll be very weird. Like this happening after the Olympics is pretty weird to just think about that. Like, obviously people still are going to really, really care about the Olympics a lot more. But I mean, maybe we always talk about how you don't want to your sport to rely on the Olympics. So maybe this is, you know, moving in that direction as well. They're not afraid to have them back to back, and this thing to be like just as big maybe one day.
I think that is kind of a good idea, especially because the Olympics are always earlier than what they're now going to make the world champs is like always going to be in September basically.
Yeah.
The Olympics,
they don't control that.
Olympics are likely to never be in September, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Early August. If you have like 6 weeks before the ultimate championships, I like they could probably
they got to change the name. I'm
probably
sorry.
Could have come up with a different
they
name.
They got to change the name.
The name sounds so
the
lame,
name's so
it?
Bad, man.
It's just so lame.
Just change it to the Chicken Boy League.
Yeah, come on. Use it. I'll give it to you. But I think it's a good idea. I think with like track and field being what it is, I think this is probably the best way to make an event out of it. You know, F1. If you go to F1, that's a 3-day thing.
That's true.
Normally, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
You make this into a 2 or 3 day thing, and who knows, maybe this, I think, like, I always come back to this, and I feel kind of mean saying this, but like track and field's probably biggest issue is still that there's like so many events. I think that's still an issue, just the amount of events there are, and that's always going to be an issue until they cut it down, which I don't know if they'll ever be able to, but I think something like this is still definitely pushing the needle in the right direction.
What's the ideal amount of events?
Just you guys? One.
Just one.
Like a cross-country meet?
Yeah.
How exciting is NCAA Cross, man?
No, it is true.
And everyone's running.
I mean, World Cross is just, they need to like schedule that at the appropriate time so people can actually go to it. Because I feel
no one really
goes because it's of the time of year.
It doesn't get the respect it should
no,
have.
No, it doesn't.
If you can't cut down on the events, cutting out 7 days of competition and a few hundred athletes is pretty good.
Yeah.
And it forces you to, if you want to go and compete for 150 grand, you have to run a lot to have a really good world rank.
Yeah, shit. And it's pretty hard to qualify.
I've been arguing for like really important world rankings forever.
Yeah.
I think world rank should be like much more important than it is. I mean, it is. It's growing all the time in importance, but
it's super important, but it still just has all these like,
it'd be sweet if there's no
issues
standard
with it.
Yeah, oh, dude, a lot of issues. Which I think one of the biggest things is recently I was thinking this because just following some triathlon qualifications is that there's a weighted about in terms of who shows up to the meets. So you can't just like sneak off to a gold meet on the other side of the world with no one in it. Mm-hmm. Like there's actually dependent on who is there,
I think,
whether the field is good or not.
So what the field's ranking is.
Kind of, yeah.
I think Tom Wang told me that, I don't know, I hope I'm not confusing this, that there's someone out there that did it for track and field and it was like actually looked really good where, yeah, you're taking like all the stuff that we currently take into account, but then you're also bringing in like a chess ELO ranking. Like, you know how like chess ELO ranking is like kind of like the most pure ranking system where it's literally just like you have a number, your opponent has a number, and if you beat them, depending on like what the difference between your numbers is, you gain a certain amount. I'd like finding a way to do that where in our sport, where, yeah, that's where you take the field into account. That's how
I think it makes
done
a lot of sense.
Because, yeah, it is pretty cooked that, like, you can still sneak your way into, like, certain events and just get so many points from it.
I hate to love that we're athletes from Oceania, but
Oceania champs is fucking,
that's just not a good,
no.
Like, they absolutely should take advantage of the system, how it is. It shouldn't be able to be taken advantage
of. Yeah,
it's definitely not justified how much points they get for that compared to the competitors that they have in it because it's literally one country,
lots of flaws. You know, another thing that's crazy, in the indoors versus outdoors, because right now in the indoor 5K, like if your time, I think you get an extra like 10 seconds on an outdoor time or something. It's like a lot. And everyone knows Boston is faster than outdoors.
Mm.
But the system right now, the ranking points you get for doing the same time indoors, you get way more points.
Yeah.
So for doing it in those, so it's just like, yeah, the little things like that could definitely just be
updated each year.
Yeah.
Is kind of how it should be.
So should move towards that. But yeah, World Athletics Ultimate Championships. They're
quite far away.
Yeah.
It's like over 2 years.
Shit.
Are we still going to be around?
Probably not. Being in the top 8 to 16 rankings is like, it's pretty hard.
I mean, I'm
really hard.
I'm looking at the 15.
But as it should be, I guess.
Mario Yared would be in it for the 15. They would be in it. Yared, obviously, because I think Yared's second.
It'd just be Mario versus Yared.
It'd be Mario Yared. Well, I'm thinking for our team. I'm saying for our team. You would be in there for the steeple. And then I think that's
Joe would be in there for the 5K and 10K. Well, I don't know. I think
for the 10K he would. 5K,
maybe,
no.
Maybe now it's past 12 months since he's since his performances last season, like in Rome,
Florence,
but he was really high in the 5K after those two, and he's indoor.
I'm sure Sage is top 16. Would have some good representation.
Yeah.
The 5K would be very hard. Getting the
gotta run faster.
Getting in the top 20 in the 5K is
it's brutal, man.
Is very difficult.
You gotta go to a Diamond League and run.
I mean,
top 12, 15.
I've only just gotten the top 20, and I've run like 3:31 and 3:49.
Yeah,
that's how crazy the ranking is now. Even if time doesn't matter, and I ran those in pretty high like level events. Like I mean, level meets. Sorry,
the
meets.
Thing with the ranking system right now is that if you do get injured, like you're fucked, which is.
Because I was third. Not, I was third not, at one point.
Well, it's maybe not the best thing, you know? Because the fact that in the 1500, you need five performances. So if you miss an indoor or an outdoor season, you really got to work to get back up there. It takes a bit of time.
Yeah.
So, but I guess, I mean.
You realize how quickly you can bust out 15/miles, though?
True.
Once you get there. Like, once you're only running that event.
Yeah. But see, also, I don't like, that's another thing that I really don't like about the ranking system is, like, this year, for example, I feel like I've been trapped only, it's only made sense for me to race 5Ks, you know? Which may, I mean, I'm trying to qualify for the Olympics. Like, that's my big goal. So it's not like they're just going to hand that to you, or it ever should just be handed to you. But it's just annoying that if you're in my position, if you're at my level, like if I was way better, yeah, like it wouldn't be a problem. I just go run crazy time. And then you're like, yeah, sweet. I'm sweet. But because I've been on the line of like trying to get the standard, but not sure if I was going to get it. Every race that I do is like, all right, shit. Like I need to try and improve my 5K ranking and I need to find the right race to go do that. Whereas I would like a little more freedom with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you're ever going to get around that for like someone that's like in the spot that I was in.
I mean, there's a lot of people in that spot, I imagine, as well. It's not just not just you, but like, I mean, yeah.
Anyone who's on the edge is feeling that pressure. And that's quite a lot of people and some really good people because, yeah, it is hard. But yeah, still quite a long time away. So got a lot of other stuff to look forward to before that. I think, and these years are just getting like 2026. I mean, yeah, it's an off year, but also they have World Road Running. 2026 is happening probably a very similar time.
Mm. Isn't that also in September?
Yeah, it's probably. Well, they want to, you know what, because this is what they're doing in 25. They're trying to have World Champs and World Road Running 1 week apart. They're probably going to do that for this as well, so they can try to get people to double back, which 2020, I always get this confused. Is 2025 World Road Running the one in San Diego?
I believe so. That's like Tokyo to San Diego in like a week. So then I guess it would be Budapest to Copenhagen.
Which would be sick.
In a week.
That'd be so fun.
That seems way more doable than Tokyo to
Tokyo to San Diego. Sounds brutal.
Yeah.
But that'd be cool. I mean, at the end of the day, you want as many like big high stakes meets that attracts all the best in the world as possible. And this looks like another one of those added to the calendar. So that's a big win, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of money. The funny thing when they throw out these crazy money things, like they put up $10 million prize pool, $150K for the winners. And I don't know, I think when you read it, it sounds really nice, but I don't even know how much like the athletes really respond to that. I don't know.
Well, the athletes that are usually winning those races don't really need to worry about money anyway.
Yeah.
So I think it's more of like, if I could see what the money was for 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, whatever, like that would probably respond more to the athletes thinking like, shit, I'm top 10 in the world. I could be making like good money. Yeah. You know?
It's definitely a good thing though. It's always a good thing.
It definitely is. I mean, the only other way you can make 150 grand is by winning a marathon major.
Yeah, more than that, don't you?
Not that I'm aware of, but I don't actually know.
I thought it was like 250 or something.
I don't know. It's in that ballpark.
I don't know, Boston or New York, one of those ones.
Always marathon. All your runs. Oh,
yeah. This sounds like a marathon you're putting on.
No, I mean, you definitely make a shit ton of money from winning any
of those. I'm pretty sure Boston's 150.
Is it?
I think it's the same. And winning Boston sounds a lot harder.
Nah, it's easy. just get right to the, just stick on them, George, and then kick them in the last 50 meters.
This sounds like a marathon.
Yeah, easy.
That's how Helen did it.
That's how Helen did it.
So, yeah, overall, definitely positive vibes about this World Athletics Ultimate Championship, except for the name. And they have 2 years to fix that, so we'll see what happens with it. I don't know what would you name it?
That's what I was just thinking. I was trying to think.
It's a tough one. Because, like, it sounds cool if it was just the World Championships.
Mini World Champs. That sounds terrible.
Fuck. Ollie, you got anything?
Who, me?
this is your area of expertise.
Yeah, the name can be... So they're calling it the Ultimate.
Yeah.
They should just...
This is where you bring in ChatGPT to do this thinking for us.
Yeah, honestly, they probably just got an AI to do it.
Yeah.
Apple AI presents World Ultimate Rankings. Sponsored by Chili's.
If you get someone to sponsor it, then they just name it.
True. They take care of it.
Well, wait, why don't we sponsor it?
Let's speak to Seb.
Yeah. The World Athletics Coffee Club Championships? That sounds
good. No, just call it the Coffee Club Championships. Get rid
of the Coffee Club Championships. Sounds
clean.
That does
sound pretty good.
CCC.
Yeah.
Mm.
You going to CCCs this year?
So you run for your country, right?
Oh, no, you run. I didn't even know that. I didn't even look into that.
I assume so.
See,
anything this is world at the front.
It's funny. It's funny because like
Federation's gonna have to get on board.
100%. It makes sense. Like I didn't you've interpreted this in a, which I think is much more accurately is like a mini world championships. I interpret it more like a bigger Diamond League final.
That's how I've interpreted it. Yeah,
I got that
Jordy's interpreted it as a world championships. We've interpreted it as a Diamond League final. Well, the thing is, they've got elements.
We'll see which one we get.
But they've got elements of both. They haven't got like they don't not the same. Yeah. They've got elements of both. So it's honestly nice to have two sides of it. Thinking about it that way.
But yeah,
I think if it's a combination of both, then we're on the right track.
Yeah, that's I agree with that.
Definitely. But yeah, it does sound like there's no other event that has world. And championships begins with world, ends with championships, and it's run by World Athletics, where you don't represent your country.
Why don't we just call it League of Legends?
League of Legends. I think that name is taken.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
What about Fortnite?
Also taken. We'll work on it. But yeah, so we'll check back in 2 years. In 2 years,
we're not going to cover it at any point now until 2 years later.
We'll see you all in Budapest. Yeah. Again. Back to Budapest.
Be working on our world rankings till then.
Yeah. We'll also just be fucking old, so. Yeah.
In our primes.
That's a better way of looking at it.
Yeah.
But we're a prime rib.
Exactly. Well, I perfectly aged, dry aged. So
definitely dry aged and bolder.
Yeah, super dry aged. Yum. So there was so much good racing, and I think we're going to first start off this little tour with the New York Grand Prix. Which, from everything that we've heard, was an amazing meet from a spectator standpoint. Really had some like just such good talent shot from the US, like sprints. I mean, it's not really a distance meet. They had an amazing men's 1500, a really good women's 800, but the sprints were like the stars were all there, which was epic. We had our man on the ground, Tom Wang, supporting along with Joe, who was there to support Sage.
Joe was Coffee Club. Associate.
He was representing. So starting off with the women's 800, big shout out to Sage getting a nice dub. Just trending very well in the right direction going into the US trials, the Olympic trials. It was a bit of a tactical, I guess it's a tactical race if you go out in 59 in the women's, I think it was a 59. I think that's tactical for them.
Yeah, they usually, sometimes they go out in 57, 56, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, and so it was I think it was a two flat for the dub, yep. I believe. And she just looked really good pulling away. Which, yeah, you love to see.
I feel like it's the most controlled I've seen her look in terms of she was literally just in second place.
Yeah.
And then waited till like 50 to go and then...
She was finally able to do that because in all the other races, the women at the front are like going out crazy, crazy fast and she's like holding back a bit and then moving through the field. So, yeah, just a really good tactical race where she looked strong, looked like the class of the field. Like she showed it very well.
Nice confidence boost ahead of... The big one in a couple of weeks.
She's in a good spot. I mean, Nia Atkins is looking...
She does look really good.
Looking really good. And then, of course, Athingmo is the big question mark.
Mm.
She hasn't raced yet this season at all, has she?
She pulled out of LA and Pre. Because
really?
Bobby Crisp said that there was something to do with her hamstring.
I did hear hamstring.
But yeah. He also had a very interesting quote saying that he doesn't like his athletes going to Europe because there's different food, different yeah. culture, different
time zones.
That was
such a BS quote.
And it was just like, dude, you have to go there at some point.
No, because he was talking about how back in the day they had to take ships to get there. And it's like, well, that was like how many years ago? Like you take a plane now. Like I get you not wanting to travel in Europe. I mean, race in Europe during the regular season if you have to take a ship there.
Yeah. And you have to also, if your weeks. Athletes are so good that don't have to race in Europe, I get that too. But sometimes, particularly if they're like needing the experience, the best racing is in Europe, like most of the time, yeah. particularly that time of year. So but, it's an interesting quote from Chris.
But he can say whatever he wants because he's got Sydney McLaughlin just crushing
McGuckins,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just crushing it right now. So yeah.
She looks like she'd win 3 events at the Olympics right now.
Yeah. What did she run? 48. So she was in the 400, the flat 400, that is. And so there were some other amazing women in there as well. And she just, poof.
I think there were some women in there that have made US teams, if not the last team. And they weren't even in the same frame as her.
Yeah.
It's just a different camera shot. It was.
So she's come out. She's destroyed everyone in the 200 and the 400 this year.
What do you reckon she can run for an 800?
Four hurdles.
800?
Yeah.
I reckon she could run pretty quick.
Yeah.
Over or under 158?
Oh.
In her first one?
I'd say over 158.
158.
Yeah, I reckon over on that. But
157 is pretty fast.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
She's not.
It just wouldn't surprise me if she ran something crazy in the air.
The Femke Sydney matchup is.
Yeah, Femke is also crushing.
It's looking pretty good.
It's going to be.
Well, she took back the world lead just last night, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
To win Europeans. So, going to be an amazing, amazing matchup. Can I just say, like, it's so funny watching them. Like, Femke is, like, really tall. She just walks over those hurdles. I don't know what height the women's 400 hurdles are.
They're as low as you can see at a hurdle.
She makes them look real short.
Yeah.
Same with Sydney. Mm-hmm.
I saw Sydney in LA, but she was sitting down.
I think Femke's
taller
than Sydney because Femke's, like, 6 foot, I think. I don't know if Sydney is.
She's tall.
The hurdles don't go any lower. Say that much.
They just make it look
so. Jordy, if we can somehow get you to go 6'6", then those hurdles will be super easy.
So just Mason Furlick?
Yeah. Is Mason Furlick 6'6"?
He's pretty tall. Oh, I don't know if he's 6'6", but he's a tall human being.
Is that why it's so easy for Al Broccoli?
Or we'll make you 4'6". So you just run under the hurdle.
Actually,
and there's George Beamish. Oh, I think he hurdled that. I'm not
currently
sure.
Currently at 6 foot, you're just not doing yourself any
favors. Yeah, you're really just disadvantaging yourself. Disadvantage.
At New York, the distance event, if you want to call it that, I guess it's mid-distance. The men's 1500 was, we hyped it up a little bit last week because it was a really stacked field going into it, and it definitely delivered.
Yeah.
I didn't actually watch a full race video. I only watched a video sent to me from Tom Wang from the stands where they were going crazy because they thought Eric Holt the Bolt got the win. And from their angle, it looked like he did. But it was actually Jake Whitecastle who came on top in an amazing finish. Hobbs Tesla was third. I think they ran at the front 3:34, but with a 52 last lap after being a pretty... I think the weather was like pretty up and down from what I heard, a bit windy. Yeah.
It wasn't ideal conditions to run fast.
So to run a 52 last lap to run 3:34, that's cooking, man.
Dude, I mean, seeing Eric Holt's training, I'm not surprised he can do that. He's been doing some crazy, crazy shit.
Yeah, I didn't watch the... Are you referring to the Sweat Elite?
The Sweat Elite, I didn't
watch that.
Was that the 6.446?
Yeah.
Was that the whole, workout, huh?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
It was pretty insane with the running.
Splits? I haven't seen the video, but someone told me. 118.
118, 50.
50.
118.
Wait, no.
117.
Yeah, 118, 50. 50. 117.
Oh, sorry, yeah, 118. Yeah, 50, 50. Yeah.
What is his recovery?
Unlimited, I think.
45-second jog. But to be honest, that training to me tells me, like, if I was Eric's coach, I'd be like, dude, you might have something in the 800 here.
Wasn't
like,
it
this
the,
is an 800
but
training.
But he did run a great 800.
Was it on the NAU track too, in flag?
I honestly haven't been at NAU. I've been to NAU, but I think it is.
Was it blue?
I mean,
in the video? I haven't seen the video.
Yeah, it was blue. I'm pretty sure.
I think it was in flag too.
That would hurt so bad.
Mike Smith's watching that going, my boys can do that in four sets with no recovery.
Yeah, Nico did that twice.
Yeah. But, I mean, if I was Eric's coach, which I'm not, I'm only Donovan Brazier's coach, I would say, Eric, maybe do a few more eights. You might be really good at the 800.
It's just a different style of training.
I know. But the way he runs, though, is to me, he's like, this could be a good guy, could be a fucking good eight runner.
Did he run 145?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never run under 51 in a 400 meters. This dude's run two of them in a workout from running a 118, 600. That's insane.
It's a different style.
Holy shit.
I wonder what their strength work looks like threshold work. I bet that he's just on the opposite end of the spectrum to you know? Because you can do that really well also, and then you can also do that, but... Yeah,
I mean, you could do that.
I'd love to see
my more weights. I just
taking a world champ to the line was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was the other big thing. Is like shit, man. Like going into USA's looking pretty good in a tactical affair.
He's the only thing that's standing between him and making that team is three rounds. Because I feel like he can do very well in one race, but the rounds might cost Eric. I just want him to get to the final as best as you possibly can because I'm a big Eric Holt fan. So
I mean, yeah. And once again, he gave an amazing interview after it where he talked about being unsponsored, which is an absolute criminal offense that this guy.
Imagine being that good.
he's so good. He's been fourth, I think. Was he fourth?
Fourth, and when Cooper won, he was fourth.
He's just such a good story. Brings a lot of like such character to every single race he does. He's got some huge fans out there. Like people love following, watching his interviews. Like, this guy, I mean, Just come on. I don't know how it works at the brands, but
if I was a brand, why would I not sponsor him for a year? Just 1 year. Just give him a year and then see how, like, just give him that support. Because if you listen to his interview of the stuff he does with costs, like with money and stuff, it's just, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And that's like our sport, is that a guy can be that good and not.
Maybe someone will come in before the trials.
I hope so.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Because, yeah, I mean, I guess it's not like you're in, like, all we do is run. It's not like you're entitled to, like, get paid to do that. But this is a guy who definitely deserves some more support if it's out there for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would, if I had the budget, coffee club budget.
Coffee club would.
We'd have him out there in a coffee club singlet in a heartbeat.
God, I wish we had the budget. That would be actually a great signing. That would be a freaking sweet signing.
Wow. I mean, we could take out a loan.
Jordy, what do you reckon?
We could
loan out Jordy's sheep farm for Eric Holt.
Should we take out a loan?
Yeah.
I guess we don't really have like a product.
What's that collateral, right? Gus?
Yes.
They'll just kidnap Gus if we don't pay it back. That's kind of my problem, not your Gus's problem. But
let's talk to our money people about that. We'll see if we can take out a loan to sponsor Eric Holt, because that'd be awesome.
What else happened there?
Oh,
Fred. Dude,
we still got some.
Freddy! My boy, Fred Curley.
So, Fred Curley.
Team Fred.
Such a crazy. I can't imagine, like, being. I can't imagine if you were in his inner circle in the last week, because. So, he entered the meet with an ASIC sponsorship.
He also entered the meet saying that the next time he ran 100 meters.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed world record, right?
Yeah. He tweeted that.
So, he was coming into New York.
He can't tweet that.
With some weight on his shoulders.
And turns up to the start line wearing Puma spikes, bright orange, really, like, you're not hiding.
Not subtle spikes.
Apparently before the race, he walks all the way, like the whole 100, he walks it before the race, gets to the blocks are not up to standard, and then it looked like a clear DQ to me, but he says that he chose not to, that he did it on purpose, essentially. I don't know. It's hard to interpret.
The blocks went up to standard, right?
Yeah, he said he slipped on them twice, and then it wasn't worth it. So then he like started like just before the gun. So then he got DQ'd, and then that was it. So,
I thought he didn't get DQ'd. I thought he just didn't want to run.
No, but he did get DQ'd.
Oh,
like if you watch it,
yeah, he got DQ'd.
No,
yeah.
That's the thing. He says that he didn't get DQ'd, but he did. Like if you watch it, he just,
I didn't see it.
Yeah, he just gets.
He just DQ's himself.
He starts like everyone's in the set position, and then he just starts before the gun, and then he says in his interview, I didn't get DQ'd. I just did that because I was getting cold and I didn't like these blocks because I was slipping on them. But I mean, he got DQ'd for false starting. Like, that is a fact. That did happen. So
he also said he just lost his spikes, didn't he?
Initially he said that he left his luggage at the airport, and then
he didn't leave his race kit there. He got his race kit.
Yeah. And then later that same day, it came out that ASICS and Fred Curley had parted ways.
I wonder why, though.
It seems something crazy.
Something to do with him not liking custom spikes or something. But none of it makes sense to me, because you know that his contract with ASICS would have been probably one of the biggest in the sport, because he signed it when he was coming off, I think, being world champ.
Mm-hmm. Definitely seven figures, easily.
Yeah. And an interesting thing for him as well was that when he was wearing the ASIC spikes, he was actually crushing it in a few races early on. He was winning a couple of Diamond Leagues back to back to back.
So I don't even know how to explain that one.
All I know
I
is
we're
that
we're just waiting to see at the trials. what he shows up to the trials.
Wait, he posted a picture already in Nike stuff.
Yeah, there's two people I want to sign. I want to sign.
Yeah, we could sign him as
Fred
well.
Curley, take out a loan. And Eric Holt. I mean, if we're going to get a loan for Eric, we might as well get a loan for Fred as well. Surely we can just double dip.
Yeah. And then Noah Lyles in the 200 looked very, very good. And what was pretty cool is that the sprint documentary Netflix is coming out really soon. And he also got to go on, I don't know if it was just him, but they were in Times Square advertising it, because they had a big billboard in Times Square. And then he also went on Jimmy Fallon that same night. And that's some pretty sweet coverage to be getting in the sport.
Did you see his interview with Jimmy Fallon?
I watched most of it. I clicked off it at one point. I got a little bored, but it was good. That's such a different...
Shikari didn't get one?
No, I think...
No offense to Noah, but if I was just Jimmy Fallon... Jimmy Kimmel? Don't Jimmy Fallon?
Is Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon? If I was Jimmy Fallon, I would want to get Shikari on. She's way... Like, I think she's just very, very, like... If that interview, you want to get, like, the hype up, she's a hype woman, you know?
I think it's hard to do well in on Jimmy Fallon interview. That's what it made me realize, because I think like they're pretty prepared, you know, like they kind of know exactly what stories they want him to tell. And then Jimmy Fallon is trying to like ask the right questions, but still make it seem natural. And I mean, he was on there kind of explaining the sport a little bit, not explaining the sport, but he had to talk about things in a really basic way. The one thing that he did was really cool is that he hyped up the Olympic trials, because that's on the same network, so that's probably why it all happened, I suppose.
Yeah.
But that was cool, because that's a big platform to hype up the trials. So it was cool he got to go and do that.
Yeah. What do you think of his yellow speed suit? Did you see it, George?
No thoughts.
Wait, who's? Noah's?
Noah's.
That's just the world champ speed suit?
Oh, that's... Are you sure? Because I've seen other...
Everyone from Adidas has been in yellow, right? With the medal? Well, everyone who won a medal. I don't even think it was world champ. I think it was just any medal.
Any medal, you just got a color.
Yellow, I think. Yeah. It's all right.
I reckon Jared was licking his lips when he saw that.
He's jealous.
Speed suit. Well, yeah, you know how Jared.
You would have been jealous seeing that new Spanish clip it.
Oh, yeah.
Yellow to orange.
Yeah.
The least Spanish colors.
Well, yellow's. It's weird that it's not red.
It's weird that it's not red.
Because their flag is very clearly yellow and red. That's the. Yeah, like, how can you just, like, choose
I think they
to
said
orange?
Yellow and red. All right. What does that make if you combine them?
Yeah.
And then that
it is weird, because then you... Okay, so, yeah.
It'll take
time. Because
then
Italy's blue, right? Because Italy's blue, but that blue's not on their flag. Green and gold's not on our flag.
Well, blue is... Oh, yeah, it's not on their flag, but blue's their colour.
Exactly. So, like, why would you change their colour? Why would you change Spain's colour?
Well, yeah, Spain's colours are red
always
and
red
yellow
and yellow. Why would they change to
orange? But that is also their flag.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, my point is, why would you change their colour? Like, it's always been their colour, you know?
Joma.
Like,
maybe Joma just printed them wrong.
If all of a sudden Italy did, like, a turquoise green or something like that, it's like, yeah, that's not Italy's blue colour.
Yeah, that must have... I mean, do you see Swiss's?
Yeah, I saw the Swiss one.
Switzerland's Olympic, they've just taken every colour.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, we're just going to take one of every colour. Mostly white.
Mostly
and
white.
And then just get one of every colour. And they said it was to represent the 26 cantons, which the different regions. I think we talked about this in podcasts. I'm just like, that's so... Like, that's just every colour. Like, that's just... I could represent anything. Like...
Yeah. I wish they'd dress up as a Swiss guard. Have you seen the Swiss guard?
What do they wear?
Oh, mate, look it up. It's like literally just random colours and they look like they're Victorian.
The Swiss guard. Who do they protect?
The Pope.
The Poppy. That's right.
Wait, what? The Swiss guard protects the Pope.
Is that just a name? I think it's just a name, isn't it?
That might be.
Or are they actually Swiss?
I'm sure they're...
No, they are Swiss. There's a memorial in
like a treaty or something.
They must be employed.
There's a memorial, and I can't remember where it is, but there's a big lion that it's like killed in this beautiful big rock. And I remember going there in Switzerland, and it's to commemorate some Swiss guards that defended the Pope while he escaped from like an uprising or something like that. Mm. I don't know the full story of it. Swiss guards uniform.
Wow.
They should just
that looks like a jester costume.
Yeah, they should just go that then. Imagine seeing Giannis in that. Come on, that'd be drip.
That's what they should be racing in. For anyone who's listening, you gotta just look it up, because I can't even
Can't even describe it.
Yeah.
It looks more like a clown costume than anything
else. Yeah. But look up Swiss Guard uniform.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the meat.
Some good story.
That was a great story. I mean, yeah. And then should we move on to the next one?
Well, is how long do we have until the we have 4 minutes?
We have 4 minutes.
So I guess we should move, but NCAAs, is that going to take us more than 4 minutes? Probably.
Probably, maybe. I mean, like,
it depends how deep we want to go.
I'll tell you one thing I was surprised about with NCAAs. I don't think those, I guess it makes sense in a way, but I don't think it was made a big enough deal that Nico didn't win.
I agree.
That was a big upset. People were just like, oh.
It kind of slipped under the radar.
Well, I think it's because he's lost before when he's been a favorite too, I think.
Not like this, though.
No, not like this.
Last year, he was not a favorite, I don't think.
I mean, he's doubled indoors. He's broken every single freaking record.
I saw a crazy video of indoors when, like, Parker was, like, just getting absolutely dropped by Nico in the last, like, 150.
Became second in both of them.
Yeah, and you just think about, like, that's tactical. That's just racing. That's just difference in racing from time trialing. It was a pretty good comparison.
Not that we did a good preview at all of this meet last week, but that when you asked the question, the one thing we did say is the only way that Nico loses is if it's a slow race.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very
slow. A lot of people were commenting on that, saying, why is this guy not just ripping it? But it's like, dude, the field's still pretty good. Yeah. It's hard to do. It's hard to get away from them all.
It also might not have got much attention because he just, in his interview, he was just saying that he was like happy with it.
Yeah. Good way to play it off.
Which was...
But I mean, he was happy with it probably, I guess.
Getting second is not a bad thing.
Yeah, but you're allowed to not be, you know.
He said he was disappointed. He said, I'm disappointed, but I'm happy with how I executed the race. I'm disappointed with the result, but I'm happy with how I executed the race. Yeah. Which is how I'm going to say every single race going forwards.
Unless you're not happy.
Unless I'm happy with also the result. Tell you, it's a massive field. 17 all right. Men.
17.
So we're going to attempt something new. We're going to live watch with you guys listening to us watching the men's 1500 at Europeans. And I don't know, we're going to commentate it. Is this going to be so boring? Is this going to be so boring?
Let's try and make it interesting.
The first thing is crazy is the 17.
Well, we'll just watch it how we normally do.
Yeah.
By giving our opinions on
random shit.
How
many people got put through by the four?
Five.
Five.
So there's meant to be 12 in it, and they put five people in from the four.
That's outrageous.
And wait, do we have any
hoovering
up medals? Yaku's been hoovering up medals.
That's one way to put it.
What, a prediction or something?
Yeah, I could see Neil Gurley winning it.
Jingy,
yeah,
Neil.
I'd say Neil's.
Neil's looking dangerous. Good. Jingy's looking good, and
let's go, Pietro. Crazy. Forza Italia.
Hebs has been running really well.
Hebs has
even
been crushing
Nada, I don't know if that's the correct way to say his name, but
who?
The Portuguese.
Oh, Isaac. Yeah,
is it Nada? Nada?
Yeah. He has been running good.
I mean,
look at that orange.
It's orange. It's
not
just
good.
Orange.
It's not good.
A Spanish kid. Who's this French guy in it? Do you guys like the French kids?
Kind of old school looking.
Yeah. I don't mind old school.
Yeah.
The Belgium kids I always love.
Belgium
is
always
the
exact same.
I always love having stick to it. There's so many people in this fucking race, bro. Holy shit. I would be nervous about the start. I'd be very nervous.
Well, that's why Jakob would just
you think Jakob
go
straight to the back?
Yeah. He won't go near the front. I reckon he'll wait to the back, and then when he gets to the bend, he'll get in the position.
I wonder what
he's people
thinking.
Will slow down when they know he's not there.
Think of another fall? I don't know any of these Italian guys. I don't know that guy or the guy at the other end.
So, that Riva guy, he did the double indoors. I watched their indoor championships, and he beat Pietro Reise indoors in both the 3K and the 15. And then Pietro was in at Oslo. He broke the Italian record there.
I remember seeing that.
There was a couple of spots.
Mate, Fontes got through.
He did make it. He must have made it.
Did he get caught up in the fall?
Wait, maybe he was sixth. Or maybe he got put through in the fall because he got like impeded by it. There was at least one or two people.
Yeah,
that
like
didn't
Fog
even, didn't
fall.
Yeah,
Fog Dog didn't fall. He just had to go around the guy.
That's a lot of people.
Oh yeah, straight to the back.
And Robert Falcon is following him, mirroring him. Fontes loves to go to the front.
Jakob was so far behind.
He literally went through in like 15 or slower.
And they honestly, I'm really loving it.
Fontes
Koskarin's just shadowing Jingy at the back.
Wow.
Okay, no falls yet. That's a good sign. Look at how many guys are in this 15. Holy shit.
That's impressive that Koskarin's behind you.
Yeah.
I think Yago was actively trying to be at the back.
They're going to slow it down right now.
41-ish?
Yeah, not slow.
No. They'll slow it down now, though, I reckon it'll start to slow up.
Looks like there's a few more people in the stadium than the last few days.
Stadiums.
Last night was pretty hype because Tambiri.
Yeah. Did he win?
Yeah, so epic how he won as well. Like he almost didn't make it through at 229, and then he ended up jumping. He made it on a third attempt, and then he jumped all the way up to.
Oh,
like
here he comes! Yaku's coming through. Goalie's covering the move. They're starting to bunch up here.
Yeah, big bunch up.
This is where Fontes will get swamped.
Jakob going all the way around to the front. At 600 in?
Yeah, that is.
And Neil Gurley right on his shoulder. See, that's exactly where you want to be.
Yeah.
And Hebs. Kind of the people we've seen.
It's just if other people then try to come around you as well.
Which
that's
is what will
you.
Probably happen unless it gets...
But I bet he's making it pretty quick now.
Well, that's why I'm surprised Ignacio went to the front, because now he's just getting shuffled back into 10th, 12th.
Two laps to go.
Man, if you're Neil Gurley, this is... If you can stay on,
if you can hold this position, you're in a really good spot here.
But I reckon they'll come around him.
They're going to try it. Well, yeah, people are just not afraid to move around a lot, but you just got to be able to try and hold. Yeah, look. Oh, Neil's just stuck on the inside.
Yeah, but as long as he stays close enough to Jakob.
155 through 800. That's decent pace.
That's
not slow.
Yeah.
I think the second lap was like 59, though. I think it was like 55, 59.
Oh, here comes Falcon.
Go, Falcon.
And Machal.
Adam Fogg is in there. Ignacio and Jakub have swapped places.
There's so many boys in this race. Holy
man, I just want Neil Gurley to not get people go around him. I want him to stay right on their shoulder if he can.
Neil's running.
He looks good. He looks good.
Perfect
right.
spot.
Hold your position.
Jakub has like a step on them though.
Yeah, he does.
But they're all coming around.
They must be running really quick right now.
They did have a split on this
one. Jakub looks damn good.
Yeah.
57-2 with 400 to go.
Man. Oh, this is tense. Jakub doing it from the front. I mean, he's
there's still a lot of boys there.
Is that the Italian guy? Riva. Or is that Riva? And then
Gulli's trying to hold on here, but...
Come on, Neil.
Jakub looks strong. Jakub looks strong. Habs.
Habs and Neil. Looking... Wait, Neil's holding on. He's...
Yeah, Jakub hasn't won this. Jakub's definitely not won this. He's pulling away right now. 200 to go.
Stay relaxed. Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah, he looks good.
I don't think he's going to get beaten here.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Come on, Neil.
Oh, my God. He turned it on.
Hold on, Neil. He's getting swamped a little bit. Damn it. Oh, my gosh. Jakub looks insane. Who is that on the outside? Who got second? Is that the Belgian dude? I think it was the Belgian dude. Verheyden. I don't know how to say his name.
What was the time?
331. Hi.
Oh, no. There were two Belgians.
I think Pietro got third.
I think he did.
Fuck yeah. Wow.
Who was second?
The other Belgian dude, not Vermeulen.
I have not heard of that guy.
His last 100 was crazy. Yeah, and then Odese.
Oh, that's sick.
The crowd just went crazy for him getting third. And then the other Belgian dude was... Belgian went 2-4. Michal, fifth.
Wow. Yeah, I thought Neil actually ran that perfectly.
The Italians are having an incredible Euros.
They're dominating.
What was Jakub's last lap? 57.
So quick. Because what did he go through the belt? Wasn't it like 37?
37, 38. Must have been.
That's crazy. That was a championship record.
He looked incredible.
He really just turned it on. Like
once he got to the front, he was just able to like just progress it so well.
Just a little gap with 180 to go, but and then he won by like 25 meters probably. And he ran 3:31, and his first 100 meters was like 16 seconds.
Wow. He makes it like he is just clearly that much better than everyone. But the way he races tactically as well, he just makes it look so easy, so impressive. He makes it very simple, you know. Destroyed them over the last 300 and those guys are amazing that he's racing against. He was under 349 mile indoors,
taking a pounding there in the last. Damn, they're really just really just giving Gulli shit. The dude's been running for like five weeks.
Tim, leave him alone. They'd had 1,000 bets on the race. What they could have expected. Wow. Yep. Congrats to he does another double at Europeans.
Yeah.
He's got so many Europeans. There's a compilation on YouTube of all his Europeans.
Would Josh Kerr beating him blindfolded? That's my question.
Dude. The thing is, the only one that the like I don't know. There's a lot of good people in Europeans, but yeah, there's still quite a few good people that I guess weren't there. Still. You know?
Well the guy that beat him.
The British team was not as well, no, I guess had Neil.
How many
Neil? Can you send three, though? Or only two at Europeans?
You can send three.
So the British team's not as strong as it could have been, basically.
But he looked good. Looked damn good.
Eighth place was still 333.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy how packed up it was. They must have closed so quick.
Also, no falls for 17-man field. Very impressive.
Yeah. For some reason, falling is... I feel like it happens so much more in heat.
Definitely.
When people are like stressed out trying to get position and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's
how it was indoors. There was someone fell in like every single heat and there was like six people in each race.
Jesus.
And then we had a final with 15 and it was fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird how that works.
155 through 800. What pace is that for 1500? Is that
333, 334. Right?
Is it?
155 is... It's only... 57 fives. Mid to low 330s, I think.
So, he closed it pretty quick, though. Damn. Looks good. Damn, right. That was cool. All right.
See if that was interesting or not for people listening. Probably not.
We'll include that in the pod. We'll see. We'll see.
Let us know if that was boring or if we should do that again sometime.
Yeah.
I don't know when we would.
Maybe
we'll be recording during USA's or something.
Yeah. Jakob getting the double done. Europeans, man. That's how it goes. Yeah.
In some ways. How much did we cover? I can't really
remember. So we talked about Nico getting upset by Parker Wolf. Massive shout out to Parker. Kai Robinson getting third. Well done. Just a really... Yeah, I didn't expect the men's 5K to be as tactical as it was. I thought someone was going to take it because there's just so many good guys who have run so quick. But I guess you need a healthy Graham Blanks or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because even not completely healthy or coming back from injury, healthy, but coming back from injury, he was the one to take it with a very dramatic move, which I think was sick to see.
It was very cool, actually. Nico's still looking pretty good to make the team in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I would say.
That's great. Parker Valby doing Parker Valby things.
Yeah. How many Nine Step Atados did she win?
This year, five.
Jesus. I think five since November was pretty good.
And also, it doesn't make sense to me that someone can race like with so much aloofness and be running so fast. You know? Mm. Like, if I'm running my PB, I have to be locked in.
It just makes you feel like she hasn't touched the potential at all in the event.
You like, say that, but then in her interview, you noticed that she knew like every single split she was running.
Really? I didn't know.
So she's playing it off?
That's kind of what I think sometimes. She was like, yeah, we went out and like, what was the first lap? 72 or something? And then it was like 71, 71. And then I started running 70, 70, 70. She started like rattling off every single split she'd run.
Really? Did you watch the 10K? Did you see what she was doing? On the back stretch, every lap, she was like, she was like talking to someone on like it was like her coach or her parents maybe, and then she was also like looking at herself on the jumbotron and waving like on the backstretch. And she still, they went out pretty slow for that first lap or whatever, and then she still broke the championship record in the 10K as well.
Okay, what the hell?
Just absolute domination. So
isn't it crazy she's going into the trials with PRs, both of them within half a second of the Olympic standard?
Really? I didn't.
She's run 30-50 point. When the standard is 30-50 and 14-52 point.
Damn. Do you select her? She's top three. Would she have the ranking?
I think it depends what happens at the trials.
So, yeah, because if she, like,
time wise,
because like if you don't have the time, but you are top three, yeah, that would depend on the ranking.
They can only pick her if she makes it in on rankings or time has the time.
Yeah.
So it depends. That depend what happens at the trials. I think
I'm looking forward to seeing her race some pros.
Has she raced pros yet?
It's time. No.
She just hasn't been challenged in a year, probably. Yep. I want to see what it's like if she actually has to race someone at the end.
Like what the pressure is, it like when she's in pressure?
Not even pressure, just literally.
Just competition.
Just competition, not even pressure.
She's
normally so far ahead, it's like, no, she just like jogs it in, basically. Or she's normally running pretty hard, but just runs it in.
No, it's going to be so good.
Looking forward to seeing that.
Very good to see. But, I mean, I guess we'll see when we do our amazing preview of USA's. But I don't know who's informed to challenge
Really
her
foreshadowing
right now.
An amazing preview.
Yeah, because she just looks.
I was going to say, she could probably, like, she'd be a favorite, right? I guess who's running close to those times? Because Elise is obviously really good.
ESP.
ESP.
I forgot about ESP.
I'm the five. But I don't know who else is, like, healthy and in good form for the 10K at least. I don't know.
Yeah.
Once Alicia's
Wainey, right?
It. Yeah, Wainey.
She has the standard.
Yeah, Wainey's good.
She's been running pretty good.
But that'd be a good battle between them.
We'll do a ton of research
before
we preview that in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite races over the weekend, the men's eight. That thing was incredible.
Oh, dude. Was it Shane Cohen? Is that his name?
So wait, the fall that happened, was he involved in that fall? Did he set that fall? Or was it he just avoided it?
He was like... You couldn't tell from the camera angle if he avoided it or he caused it. But, they didn't DQ him.
So he must have not caused it. They would have DQ'd him, surely.
It kind of looked like it could have just happened in front of him and then he just swerved around.
He went to lane five and then just...
He's last 100. I would like
to know that split. It was insane.
And I'm blanking.
Robbie Andrews reborn.
Yeah. So yeah.
Literally,
he didn't even know who Robbie Andrews was, right?
I saw.
He literally somehow didn't know who Robbie Andrews was, even though the last person to win for UVA was Robbie Andrews.
Oh, that would have hurt Robbie.
Coming from last to first in the last 200 meters.
Yeah,
but it was literally like an action replay.
His story is so sick, though. Like, I follow you guys follow Jan, the UA,
yeah,
photographer. Like, they went to school together at D2 Tampa.
Apparently his PR last year was like 153 or something.
Yeah, well, last year I think is a little bit, what's the word? I think he was injured last year, so it's a bit of a, but the year before I think he'd run 147 in D2.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, yeah, last year was a bit off, but then.
So it's not like he actually was a 153 guy.
Yeah, not quite, but yeah, coming off being
still
injured
a very good
year,
story.
Running 144, winning, and then second place was Texas A&M. Is it Sam White?
Whitmarsh.
Whitmarsh. You're just the happiest guy ever. Just
great mustache.
Gives you a lot of joy to watch that guy race after what he's been through and just the happiness that he exudes as he was coming down the finish line and coming second. He was just so pumped. So amazing vibes. Really excited to see how both those guys do at USA's. Like, you know, it's always...
The USA 800 has, like, apart from Bryce, doesn't look that...
Jewett as well looked really good. You know,
but they've been up and down everyone else, I would say. I don't know.
That's true.
We'll see. There's always some collegiate who's like at least makes the final, at least is like up there, you know?
Yeah, because Jewett won when he was in college.
Was that when he won?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was at USC.
Damn.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He at least made the
team. Went out to the front and then, but that was the year Donovan didn't win. Donovan had those issues with the spikes and stuff. Jewett won that. Yeah.
You're right.
Crazy.
See, I have little knowledges. Little.
That was a nice little nugget.
Little nuggy.
Little nugget of knowledge.
The men's 1500, dude, it's just when you have this many people on the track that are so good, it's like, you don't, it's so hard to predict what's going to happen. But then, like, after everyone's seen the result of Joe Waskin winning it, it's like, well, yeah, this guy came first, second, first. Like, it makes sense. But before the race, it's not like that certain at all. So it's just massive kudos to him.
He was second last year behind Nathan Green?
Yeah, by like
in Austin, right?
Like 0.1. Like, he's so close to winning. Like, he almost like three.
He almost three-peated and yet he was getting no love.
Well, this season, I think he hasn't looked as good. I don't think he's broken 340. Like, I don't know what type of race this has been in, but yeah, wasn't getting that much love. I mean, this guy was ahead of Yared at USA's last year with 150 to go. Like,
he's legit.
He's so good, especially in championship setting. So I guess we got to stop forgetting about him.
Well, yeah, we don't forget about Foreskin.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that up.
We don't forget about him.
I felt bad about that last time. Now I feel double bad. I actually thought the Oregon guy was going to win at one point.
Yeah, Elliot Cook.
He looked like he raced it very well.
Captain Cook's son. Yeah.
And then Spencer, once again, just getting that podium spot. So hard, man.
He's a consistent guy at podium, but he hasn't had his day yet, except for the Australian champs. Because apparently I got a shout out.
A little throwback.
Yeah.
But I mean, amazing racing, though.
Yeah.
Just Washington, shout out to... I mean, you guys don't need us to say it because I think it's been all over the internet, but amazing things happen at
Washington.
Shout
out to Andy Murray.
Yeah, Andy Murray. Great 1500-meter coach.
Yeah. Does pretty good at tennis as well, I think.
Used to be. so sick. And then New Zealand getting the repeat winner on the women's side with Maya Ramsden from Harvard.
Not just repeat winner, the 1-2 punch.
Oh, New Zealand 1-2 punch. Yeah, true.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Shout out to...
That's like half their population.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kimberly May, friend of the podcast.
Yeah,
friend of
the pretty amazing. Congratulations.
Proud owner of Gus Plushie.
And is it the third place from, was Providence third place as well? Or is that incorrect?
I stopped watching Flock. After those two.
I don't know.
Shorty switched it off. He's like, I saw my Kiwis go. I'm done.
Yeah, she have no clue.
I don't think she's from New Zealand.
There was another Providence girl in it. Yeah. I don't know what place she was though.
No, I think she did really well. So, but yeah, Maya just looking amazing.
Yeah.
Continues to dominate.
Ready for the American championships coming up. Yeah. The trials. She's doing them, right?
Why not?
She's dual citizen. Can't she just dual?
Is she actually a U.S. citizen?
Yeah.
Is having a passport the same thing as being a citizen?
I think so. It is, right? I think that's what it is.
But I think she declared New Zealand, so she probably can't, right?
Well, once you've run for New Zealand, don't you have to have a certain amount
take
of time?
2 years. There's a little break you have to take in there.
Yeah, you can't just dip back and forth.
No. I think you can race at some... I don't think you can race at like the trials, but I remember like I think like maybe Sam Parsons or someone else raced it, like that US 5K road race in New York. You guys know what I'm talking about? 1 year.
You might even be able to run the trials. I feel like Lalo ran the trials last year right before he like became Mexican.
Wait, Sam Parsons?
Oh, that might have been 2 years ago.
Got an American passport?
Yeah, he's kind of American.
Oh, he's kind of, oh.
You thought he was full German?
I thought he was full German, yeah.
It's easy to
parsnips. Forgot about that.
Easy to confuse.
Well, yeah, it was pretty cool to see two Kiwis win. I would love to see the Aussie girls. They need to step up. Come on. We can't let these Kiwis win these fucking races anymore.
It's not okay.
It's not okay. This is not the All Blacks. We need to take over. So all those Aussie women start training and crush them.
Yeah. Yeah, that was NCAAs. What a
great race recap.
Oh, yeah, man, we suck at this. We suck at this. Just, I mean, the thing is, everyone that's listening has already watched it, and everything that we just said, they already know.
But what are we going to describe about the race?
We didn't add it.
The last 200 was good for...
We just got to talk about our opinion on it, I guess.
Well, my opinion is, it's great to see Harvard winning, not just in academic purposes, but on the track as well.
I think they should.
I think they did say something about that.
They got to stick to the books, man. They can't win everything. That's not fair.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They're too good.
I mean, if you're paying that much for tuition, maybe you should be winning. But
true.
Yeah.
True.
When are you going to go to Harvard? Oh, you're going to Princeton. You're going to be a Princeton boy.
I did visit Princeton. Yeah.
Geordie visited Harvard. I said, oh, we don't take sheep farmers.
Sorry, that's not a degree.
That's
here.
Not a degree here. Yeah. Geordie's like... I'm going to NAU.
You have to go to NAU for that one.
Yeah. Same academic prowess at NAU to Harvard.
I'd say so.
Yeah. I think it's the same.
It's on a similar level.
Yeah.
They call it the Harvard of the big sky.
They're both bachelor degrees.
What do you guys think about the 100? Because the guy I'm in love with in
such
the
100. Such a random question.
He's got this mullet and he's got the best mullet.
Do you know his name?
No.
But he
runs for Houston.
Yeah, UK
and,
guy. UK guy.
One of the...
He's British.
The guy that is the head of Houston coach. He's a very, very famous guy. I think his name's Carl Levins.
Yeah, nice.
Carl Levins, very, very famous and one of the best.
I think his name is Charlie.
Charlie Levins.
Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, Charlie Hinchcliffe. One of the best to ever do it on the track. He mentioned about online coaching. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, that's a good quote.
That's why I'm trying to go segue into
it.
That's a good quote. He's just dissing on online coaching. I honestly respect it.
He wasn't dissing online coaching.
He's just saying it was like...
dissing on data.
Stop coaching from behind your computer or something.
Like data-driven coaching.
But I loved that quote.
I thought it was people...
No, because he was saying that people criticize... I'm going to just run with that his name is Charlie Hinchcliffe. They were going to say... He was saying that like people were criticizing like his start and like that they should change stuff in training because his start isn't as fast or something the rest of the race. And then Carlos was just like, yeah, but he wins races and he runs quick. Yeah. Like,
why would you change his style of racing?
Yeah.
No, I loved it.
It's good.
That's like Rich saying, oh, you like Yard, you need to change your running style to my style. Like that's how you win races is you change it to my style. That's just bullshit.
What if he did that?
I can't imagine Yared running. It looked like a spider in a frying pan.
I can't imagine Yared running any other way than how he runs.
Yeah, he's got such a unique style.
That's already how you describe him running.
He did try and mimic George Beamish's running.
Yared did.
No, he did.
On a run.
I would love to see that.
It was quite funny. He looked like he was slowly tripping over.
That's how he looks normally.
That's how he already looks.
Yeah, but
you're just describing him.
Well, no, when he hits the ground, he hits the ground like that. He was trying to run like you, George, where he's like tippy toe all the time. And it was quite funny.
Good deal.
It was a very good impression.
I gotta try to see this in person.
Yeah, we'll try and get him to do it for the content creators so we can get a good gist of it. But it is quite the sight.
Montage of Yara doing everyone's form would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Colin would make that easy. No problem.
100%.
100%. Million views probably.
Yeah.
Easy. Well, that's a lot of fun talk about NCAAs and a lot of good garbage. Showing off our really good knowledge of the sport and its events. But no, it was truly an amazing weekend of athletics, which I think foreshadows some more amazing weeks upcoming, the trials and the Olympics. I mean, everyone lives for the Olympic year. And I think, is there anything else for us to cover today?
Have you been watching any good shows recently?
Yes.
What shows have you been watching? Let the audience know.
I just started watching Tokyo Vice.
Oh, is that the one with that Hansel and Gretel guy?
I want to say yes.
His name's like Hansel or something.
I don't know, but he looks like
he's a guy from Baby Driver. He's a driver with the glasses.
Yeah, he's that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I haven't really had a show because Actually, I don't know. Do you still watch this, George? I'm up to date on Welcome to Wrexham. That's probably been the show that I've binged the hardest.
Did the new season just come out?
It's coming out weekly. Season. And this is what happened to me.
Not up to date.
I was like binging it super hard and I didn't realize that the current season was coming out weekly. And so like I thought I was going to be able to watch like the whole season through, and then I just like got to like a really sudden ending point. And there was no next episode to watch, and I was really sad.
No, that is the worst when that happens.
So now I have to watch it weekly.
I think Tour de France just came out.
Unchained.
Yeah. Unchained. It did. Season two.
I didn't like season one of that. I'm really excited to watch season two.
Well, what was your comment on again? But it was very, very valid what you said about season. You said it was too.
I'm trying to remember season one.
I don't want to make this comment because then I seem like a snob.
No. But it is a very valid comment.
My comment was just like if you've watched it at the time and you were super engaged in it, then like. Some of the stuff just seems silly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of a few of those documentaries. Like the first season of the, what was the PGA one called?
Top Golf?
Drive? No. What was it called? I can't remember.
That one was also Swing. Maybe, oh yeah, something.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Something anyway. Swing. Full swing. Yeah. They were like describing, or they were like telling you how, like golf works. Like they started like really basic, yeah. Which I feel like was maybe how the.
I didn't mind
like
that.
Telling people what like par was, yeah. And like it was like just quite basic at the beginning.
It was more like there were like some races or some stages that I really remembered for having like, and they had really big storylines, and then the show would have its own agenda based on who it followed, so it would make the race seem like really different from how it was, and they would. Just like the storyline that they would take from this race would be just whoever they were following, which makes sense because that's obviously what they have to do. But they would just ignore the actual storylines from the race because they didn't, you know, they weren't filming the right people for it, which was just like, just made it a bit weird to watch. It's like, yeah, that's true. Like that was like a storyline in this race, but it wasn't really like the big one.
We'll have to have a segment where we review each week of sprint.
Oh, bro. Yeah. That's going to be so interesting for
us. Once that comes out.
Maybe we'll learn something about sprinting.
Yeah, true. We could learn something.
Yeah. I mean, there's two big shows coming out for me personally.
Tell us.
The Boys, season 4. That's huge.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
Today. No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And then Rings of Power, season 2 trailer. Have you guys seen it? It actually looks really good.
I need to finish season 1.
Yeah, I didn't even watch season 1.
They're bringing out the new season of the Game of Thrones.
Mm. Wheel of Time, season 2. Update, boys. Update for Wheel of Time season 2.
Do you know, George?
Oh, yeah.
Ollie and I tried to watch it when we were in Australia.
Yeah, we watched one episode.
I don't think we watched the whole episode.
I heard that it was bitter.
It's honestly really? Worse.
It's terrible.
It's mostly this the main character, that main girl again. It just doesn't even...
Yeah, it's bad.
And then Morgan's like, I'm going upstairs, and I just got really sad and watched like the rest of Maze Runner.
Yeah, it was bad. It was real bad. It was so bad.
It was very bad. We were laughing at it. We're like, this is not the same without George. Yeah. It was shocking. All right.
Let's wrap this up.
George, what are you watching? Just Bachelor still?
You said you'd watch The Bachelor with
the
me.
The Bachelorette must be coming out soon.
Yeah. Can we watch it together?
I think that's how it works.
Please?
Do you know what? No, do you know what I've been watching actually? Which I wish I watched at the time, is we just randomly watch episodes of Russ Cook's run through Africa on YouTube.
I wish
I followed that at the time. It's
sick.
Fucking good content. It's insane, actually. Like, we just got to, like, the bit through, he runs from South Africa to Tunisia, it's incredible. Like, he's running, like, 50, 60 kilometers a day. Like,
it's crazy.
Over a marathon, just, like, through.
What's his average pace?
Not very fast. Sometimes he's just like chugging along.
Yeah.
But then he gets to like above South Africa, Namibia, like pretty tame, like not much going on there. And well, like a lot going on, but doesn't get too crazy. And as soon as they hit like the Congos, shit just hits the fan. It's insane.
I believe it.
Doesn't he get he gets mugged and stuff?
Yeah. Like it's full on. It's just, I watched that quite a lot. It's really good.
That would be sick. Some great content out there.
We could have him on. We should get him on the pod.
He'd be a hard man to get on the pod now. I think he's pretty famous.
He's very famous now.
Yeah. Deserve it.
Maybe what you should do, George, is run the length of New Zealand with hurdles.
Every
what?
50 meters.
And then the hurdles can be sheep.
That'd be convenient.
Yeah. And then we just do George Beamish is hurdling through New Zealand. And then we have one big sheep between North and South Island. You have to hurdle all the way over to get to the North Pole.
It acts as a bridge.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen. Yeah.
Just deteriorated.
Well, I deteriorated an hour ago.
Well, with that, I think that's it for us from episode, I think, 141 of the Coffee Club podcast. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye-bye.
Fun times.